Thank you so very much. If you would take your Bibles tonight and go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, it seems like a very long time ago in a galaxy far, far away that we dealt with this book of the Bible. But if you have your Bibles handy there, 1 Samuel chapter 30, I want to review just a little bit to kind of catch us up on our location here in the chapter. And we want to look at 1 Samuel 30. We'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we've already looked at this passage, but I do want you to catch up with where we are and what David is facing. Again, David's been on the run from King Saul, and at different times he's had the opportunity to take Saul's life. He has resisted that temptation, and he has continued to trust God to bring him into the throne at the appropriate time, but that's been very difficult. The flesh, no doubt, wanted to take the life of Saul at different times, and David had resisted. And now David has found a resting place, if you would, amongst the enemy, and he's down in Ziklag, which was, of course, connected to the Philistines, and he has made inroads against the enemies of Israel. And he is living there in Ziklag, and we pick up the reading in verse number 1. Again, we looked at this passage in our last look at 1 Samuel, so I want to pick up this section, and then it flows into our text for tonight. The Bible says in verse number 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 30, "It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed..." Here it is, "For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David." Here's our text for tonight. On the heels of this discouragement, and even the people speaking of stoning David, here's what David does, verse number 8. "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Let's ask the Lord's blessings as we look at this passage tonight, in this matter of following God and doing the right thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity again to study your word. I pray again that you'd work in the hearts of each one that's listening. Lord, I pray that they'd listen intently. I pray that they'd consider themselves as they stand before a holy God. And as we consider this matter of following God, Lord, would you help each and every one of us to learn the lessons from David and these other Old Testament characters. Thank you for this time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In our passage, we have a petition from David, and David says, Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? And then we have a promise. Almighty God responds, and he says, yes, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I don't have time to go all the way back through the matters that we've studied thus far in the book of 1 Samuel, but you'll recall that at different times David would be on a great mountaintop and he'd be in great communication with Almighty God, and God would say, yes, take this step, yes, take this step, yes, go here, don't go here. But then at other times David would be distant from Almighty God and he would take several steps that would be away from what the Lord would otherwise direct and desire in his life. And so tonight we come on the heels of a great time of discouragement. Again, it's been a number of months since we've been there in 1 Samuel, and considering this passage in which the Bible says the people spake of stoning David. I mean, that's how how difficult it got. But in the midst of all of this discouragement, David goes back and inquires of the Lord and says, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Listen, that's the starting point for every single one of us. The starting point for us in making things right is to inquire of the Lord. Folks, let's just put some things on the table tonight and let's understand some facts about every single one of us. Not one person sitting before me and not the individual that's standing here in the pulpit tonight is perfect. Can we agree upon that? If you don't agree with me, let me just ask your spouse tonight, and I'll have your spouse testify on your behalf, okay? Is your spouse perfect, okay? Oh, yes, I have the perfect spouse. Okay, all right. Not one of us is perfect. Because we are not perfect, because we are fallen creatures, then we must acknowledge that there can be times in which we do not obey the Lord as we should obey the Lord. Is that right? Yes, that's right. It's the process of parenting, isn't it? When we parent our kids, we understand that they're not always going to behave, but we take those times in which they've not behaved and we work on them, and we work on them, and we work on them. And sometimes we have to continue to work on them and work on them, but we don't give up, or I pray that as parents we don't give up. So we are fallen creatures, we are going to fail. But the question is, what happens when I fail? What happens when I've made a poor decision or I've sinned against my parents? I've sinned against Almighty God. Where do I go to get out of the matter? And again, for all those that are watching online and for each one of you here on campus, the sooner that you acknowledge that you're not right with God, the better the chances for you in cleaning up all that's already transpired. It is interesting because when you study out the passage of the prodigal son and you watch how he transgressed against his father, went his own way, did his own thing, boy, he went way down. And the Bible says that he finally had to come to himself. And I've watched an awful lot of young people and I've spoken with a lot of parents. And the parents will say to me, what do you think, Pastor, it's going to take? And I might often say, I don't know what it's going to take, but they'll have to come to their senses. David has been placed in this position of discouragement. David has been placed in this position where they're about to stone him. And in light of that potential stoning, he says, boy, I've got to make some things right. And so what's the first thing he does? The Bible says he inquired at the Lord. And we could tonight go to the Psalms and see how David responded and poured his heart out to Almighty God in prayer and just prayed through these matters. Again, for time's sake, we won't do that. But we ask ourselves this question: if a person acknowledges that they've done wrong and they want to, from that day forward, do right, what's going to be involved? What's going to be involved in following the Lord and doing right? I don't want to paint some rosy picture for the young people tonight and say that the moment you say to Almighty God, your life is just going to be a bed of roses. Yesterday for the wedding, as they're coming out of the Family Life Center, there's a number of individuals that threw rose petals out onto the sidewalk. Wouldn't that be great if a person trusted Christ as their Savior and then came forward and said, from this day forward, I'm going to follow God. And as they were going out, we just threw rose petals at them. We said, that's what you're going to face the rest of your life. It's just going to be a rosy, wonderful day. Isn't that what you'd want, Brother Kevin, right? You'd want that. Oh, it's just going to be a bed of roses from here on out. Well, it's not that way. There are some matters that we have to take into account. And David is going to seek to make some things right. And he begins that process by inquiring of the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, what should be done? So I want you to see four things very quickly tonight in this matter of following God and this commitment to follow God and having us all understand what's going to happen when we've made that kind of commitment, okay? Number one, as we see here in verse 8, we begin our process, verse number 8, shall I pursue after this troop? Pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now that's the greatest of guarantees when Almighty God says, yes, pursue. But what's it going to take? What's going to be involved when I take that step and I want to do right? Well, number one, taking the step to follow God is going to have difficulties. Again, as I've already said, it's not going to be a bed of roses, but let's see what's going to happen. Verse number 9, here's the matter of difficulties. Verse 9, so David went, he and his 600 men that were with him came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezor. Now, perhaps you've been out on a hike and you are exhausted. Perhaps you've been out on a bike ride and you are exhausted. Perhaps you've been kayaking here in these recent days and you're out in the hot sun and you are exhausted. These are men of war. These are men of battle. And their families have been taken, but their exhaustion outpaces their desire to get their families back. And they're just absolutely, without a doubt, exhausted. And so 200 of the 600 are so faint that they cannot go on. Perhaps you've been in that position in your service for the Lord, and you just say, there's just no way for me to go on. The difficulties are too great. One-third of the men are so exhausted in their endeavor to overtake the enemy that they just say, David, we have to stay behind. It's not that we don't want our families back. It's not that we don't want our loved ones. But David will be no good to you by the time we track down the enemy because we're so exhausted. Take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And I want you to look at this passage as it relates to us from the Apostle Paul, his second epistle to the book or to the church at Corinth. And I want you to look at this, the nature of following Christ and the difficulties that are there. And the Apostle Paul details them for us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look what the Bible says in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, perils of the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And I'm going to tell you right now that I don't know of any minister of the gospel in 2020 that has a resume like David is just, or like the Apostle Paul has just read off here in 2 Corinthians 11. Now we might say something like this, in perils on 66, in perils on 95, in perils of hurricane, in perils of storms, but it still would never compare to the resume that David lists here. Again, when we commit to doing what is right and we begin the process of digging out, possibly of going the wrong direction, but now seeking to do right, there are going to be difficulties. Following God will have difficulties. We have difficulties from the flesh, difficulties from the world, difficulties from the devil. He'll do everything he can to keep us from being back on the right path and telling us that the journey is not worth it. The difficulties are not worth it. The achievements at the end of the proposition are not worth it. And so there are difficulties. Would you notice number 2 with me back in 1 Samuel chapter number 30? Would you flip back there with me? 1 Samuel 30, there's not only difficulties, but there are delays. There are delays. Look at verse number 11. 1 Samuel 30, if we're going to follow God, if we're going to do what is right, There are going to be difficulties, but then there's also delays. Verse number 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. Now that's serious. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. So this is an eyewitness testimony. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. Oh man, we've got to take time here. How often have we been in such a rush to have everything fixed and everything back right, and we're not willing to accept some of the difficulties and some of the delays that may occur? Have you ever encountered an individual that is not right with the Lord, but they begin to be convicted, and so they say something like this, okay, I'm going to go to church Sunday. And so they come to church one Sunday morning, and then the next day they go back to work, and they're right back in the midst of their difficulties, and they say something like this, well, that didn't work. So they'll give God one Sunday morning, or they'll give God one Sunday and two services or something like this. Well, I tried church and that didn't help me either. This is a process in which they find this man, and no doubt there was probably a few in the crowd that said, hey, this is one of them, especially when he announced that he was a servant of the Amalekites. Now he's an eyewitness, and we're going to take time for him to recoup his strength. We're going to take time in this matter. I mean, David, we've got to press on. We've got to do this quickly. You can't take the time for this guy to be refreshed. The Bible says he'd gone 3 days and three nights without any water, and he's well nigh, I'm sure, close to death. And so I feel like they're on a time schedule. And how often do we kind of present God with a time schedule for what we want to have occur and we want to have accomplished? And we say, okay, God, I'm going to do right from this day forward. Now fix it right now. And it doesn't happen that quickly. Doing what is right often has delays. Why take the time to see what this individual might offer us or to see what he might know? Why take time? I mean, after all, this guy might be trying to delay us so that the enemy can get away. How often do we see delays as a negative when, in effect, the delay might be of great benefit? And we may not even know how much of a benefit it really was until much later on. But God says, in following him and doing what is right, there can be difficulties. There can be delays. Would you notice number three with me tonight in verses 16 through 20, that there are delights? Look at verse 16. The Bible says, and when he had brought him down, behold, there they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. Look at verse number 18. And really, if you would, in my Bible it's on a different page, so I'd have to flip back. But just think with me for a moment about the mindset when they arrive back to Ziklag and everyone that's connected with them is gone. Now, again, we know from the pages of scriptures that none of them had been slain, but they didn't know that. They didn't have that kind of foresight, and so until the Lord says to them, pursue, and then he says to them, thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. But when they arrive back on the scene and they see everything ransacked and they see that all of their wives and all of their children are gone, they don't know at the moment that they're not all just dead. In all likelihood, I said my last goodbye to my family. And I'm sure that there were some that even doubted when the Lord said, you're going to recover all. But now look at this. The Bible says, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening. This is verse 17. Of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all of the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. So this is beyond what they could even ask or think. Not only did they recover all that was lost, they have this time of wonderful reunion, but there are additional spoils that go along with what's taken place there in their time in conquering the Amalekites. There are delights. Sometimes the delights are few and far between. Sometimes we'd like to say that there are a lot more delights than there are difficulties. But sometimes it takes a little while to see those delights come to fruition. If you're in the midst of training up a teenager, it may be a little while before you see some of the delights. If you're in the midst of training up a toddler, it might be a little while before you see some of those delights. Pastor, I have told my child for the umpteenth time, make sure they brush their teeth. And I still can't get them to, I mean, this child is going to grow up and never accomplish anything with their life. They can't even brush their teeth consistently. And I'm using, of course, a softened illustration. But I think we all understand that we pour ourselves into our kids and we think that at times, are they ever going to get it? Will there ever be a time of delight where I look back and say, praise the Lord, they got it. This has been fantastic. My dad texted this morning after the service, and I had mentioned my brother and sister being in service. And he sent me a text, and he said, hey, praise God that all three of you were there together. Well, I won't tell you how old my sister is, but she's 3 years younger than me, and I'm 49. And, you know, my older brother is, he's in his 50s and so forth. So look at that length of time for a parent to reflect on the bounty of delights. And as the Apostle John said in his epistles, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. You know, there are a lot of grandparents and parents that are brokenhearted tonight because in some cases they have no idea where their children or grandchildren are. In other cases, they are brokenhearted tonight because they know that their children or grandchildren are not in services. And so for them, they're still continuing the warfare of prayer over the nature of the life of that grandchild or child. Please don't give up. Do not give up in that spiritual warfare where you are praying consistently, Lord, turn their heart, bring circumstances into their life, because what you're praying for is the ultimate delight that you might hear ultimately that my children are walking in truth. Now, I'm thankful that my dad didn't send a text and say, I'm so glad to know that my children are now perfect, because we're not. But he takes great joy in the setting of here's three siblings that are able to worship Almighty God together. And that is a lifelong investment. But after that lifelong investment, praise God, there's some delight. I see some of our preschool teachers here tonight and some of our elementary teachers here tonight and our junior and senior high teachers tonight. Listen, don't quit. Don't give up. It may be 12 years, 15 years before the most rotten of your class, the most ornery of the class, turns out and wins the pastor's award. And our preschool teacher says, do you know what they were really like? You know, how did this turn occur? Well, along the way, I believe that God in a unique way gives delights. One of the joys for me was the opportunity to be the pastor in a location where I'd been the youth pastor. And so in that process of time, I met a lot of those young people at age 8, 9, 10, 12, and I had them come all the way through the teen department, and then I was afforded the opportunity to be their pastor after they were in my teen department. And I'm telling you tonight, there were a lot of those young people, and literally I'd beat my head against the wall and going home and saying, they are never going to get this. And now they'll send me texts here, there, and again. Hey, Brother Todd, thanks for continuing to invest in my life. And so it's not an immediate path. There are a lot of difficulties. There are a lot of things that seem to delay us. But praise God for the delights. And now and again, a parent or a grandparent or a teacher or our administrator comes along and says, hey, I had a note come in the mail today about a young person. Boy, they really struggled with this or that. They graduated, and I didn't know if much would come from them. But now they live in Colorado, and praise God, they've gotten their life right. They're married to a successful a young person. They've got their own children, and they're faithful in a local church. Now, I wish that I could say tonight that those kinds of letters were just heaping and running over down in the academy office. They're not. But now and again, we do recover the spoils. And we do get the word of these things that bring delight in our service for the Lord. If you're going to follow Almighty God, know this, there are going to be difficulties. Well, if there are going to be difficulties, then I just don't know if I want to do it. No, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because there are some wonderful delights. And those delights only come in the work of the Lord. But let me give you a fourth thing. In the midst of all the delight that occurred here in verses 16 through 20, you still, and here's the fourth one, you still have detractors. So they've worked through the whole process. Do you remember? They reached that low point of discouragement where they spake of stoning David. Now they've asked Almighty God what they should do. They've inquired of the Lord. The Lord said, pursue. There were immediately difficulties. There were immediate delays. But now they've been delighted, and they've restored all the spoil that was stolen from them. And they've even added to what they have. And you'd think that there'd just be a great rallying cry and a great opportunity for joy and wonder. But look at verse number 21. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. In other words, whose victory was this? Was this the victory of David and his men, or was it the victory of Almighty God? It was the victory of Almighty God. For who will hearken unto you in this matter, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel until this day. There are always going to be a few detractors. And boy, when that train starts moving and it overcomes difficulties and it overcomes delays and you begin to hear delight and you begin to hear delight and delight and delight and the train is chugging and moving in the right direction and there's excitement in the camp and there's energy in the camp and there's victory after victory after victory. Somewhere there's going to be the two old men from the Muppet Show. Why do we always come here? I guess we'll never know. It's like some kind of torture to have to watch the show. I think every congregation in America has the two old men Muppets. And when everything starts churning forward and everybody's filled with excitement and filled with delight and looking at the spoils that have been taken from the devil and taken from the enemy and how new ground has been received, boy, there's someone that will come along.
Well, I don't think they should share with us. I mean, after all, they didn't go out with us. Now, let's give them their wives back, but let's send them on their way. They're no more good to us.
David said, oh, it will not be so. We're going to do right by these men. They've been faithful in staying by the stuff. Now, I don't want to be one of those two old codgers from the Muppets. And if you've never heard of the Muppets, I'm sorry. Go home, watch the opening on YouTube or something like this, and you'll get it then. But even when the time comes that I move from the active role in a pastorate to retirement, I still don't want to be one of those codgers. Just being the derogatory one and saying nothing's good enough. You come into services and it's way too hot. You know, I'm gonna let everyone in on a little secret, okay? We do run the air conditioning in this auditorium almost constantly to keep it as cool as we possibly can. But you know, when there's been 19 or 20 days that have been in the high 90s, sometimes the air conditioning unit here in the building doesn't absolutely keep up and keep us at that cool, crisp 63 that we would so enjoy. But do you know, when I look around, I think to myself, boy, we've been blessed, haven't we? You know, I've been on some pretty shoddy benches in services around the world where there's no windows on any of the building. It's just kind of a lean-to that's been put together. Oh, there's no doors for everybody to enter with, and boy, it's hot. There's no electricity where we could even run fans, and boy, it's hot. Been in services where there are no pews at all, and they've just put down like a one-inch piece of pad, and you sit there on the floor for hour upon end as the service continues. And they're used to sitting with their legs crossed. They're used to sitting in that fashion and used to sitting on this, but boy, when this old American body gets into that setting, I'm telling you, it's struggling. And I'm trying to move into different positions, and I'm trying everything I can to make it comfortable. But you know, when I look around here, oh, I know that sometimes the air conditioning doesn't work quite as well as we'd like. But I tell you what, God sure has been good to us. Oh, I know that every message that we have isn't one of those messages that's preached and that ought to be on the radio. And sometimes you probably go home at night and say, where did Pastor get that thing? Was that from the Daily Bread or what? But you know, I know for the most part that when we break the bread of life, God is answering our need and he's giving us exactly what we need when we need it. Oh, I know everything isn't ideal right now. I don't know about you, but I struggle in adapting to wearing a mask. I almost want to wear like a Lone Ranger mask or something like that. Now, that'd be great, you know, walk everywhere around, say, you have your mask on? Ah, yes, I do, and put on my Lone Ranger mask. Now, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I struggle with a lot of what's going on in the country, but we've still been really blessed. And I don't want to arrive back after having seen the great spoils and be like the prodigal son's brother at the party. Do you remember him? When the prodigal son came back and the father threw the great party, oh, there was the old Muppet. And he came to his dad and said, Dad, how dare you throw this big gallant party for my brother that's been so deceptive and so discouraging to you, and he's gone away and he's just spent all of his livelihood. How are we having such a party for him? What about me? I want a party for me and my friends. And the father said to him, hey, cut it out. This thy brother was, what, lost, but now he's found. I know that in the service of the Lord and seeking to do right, that there's going to be a lot of things that are difficult. Boy, if you're not willing to face difficulties, don't go into the ministry for Almighty God. Just find something else to do because there are difficulties. There are delays. Say, boy, I just want it to occur right now. I want my money and I want it now. Have you heard the commercial? There are some that would say, boy, I want to follow Almighty God and I want the smooth road and I want it now. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, I don't know that we could ever say that he had a smooth road. But as we walk through the characters of the Old Testament, as we walk through the characters of the New Testament, I believe all of them would speak with one voice and say, boy, we've had many delights. And then for each one of us tonight, both those watching online and those that are here on campus, don't be one of the detractors. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 19 and following tells us about Sanballat and Tobiah, individuals that should have been excited that the walls were going up there in Jerusalem, but they were detractors. They came to mock Nehemiah. They came to mock all of the Jews that were seeking to do what is right. They mocked time and again, but the Bible says that Nehemiah worked through all these distractions. He worked through all the delays, and by God's grace, they raised up those walls. And they did what many detractors said could never be done. Well, let me ask you tonight, are you going to follow God in every area of your life? If you will follow the Lord, it's going to have difficulties, it's going to have delays, it's going to have delights, and it's going to have detractors. But would you hear me as I close? It's still the best life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And thank you for this opportunity to kind of look into the example of David's life, and to be able to consider what he was going through in this time of discouragement and despair, where his men spake of stoning him. I can't imagine that. These 600 that had come to him, and they were such ardent supporters of David, and yet in this time of difficulty, their first solution is to stone their leader. And David encouraged himself in the Lord, and the first thing he does is inquire of the Lord and says, Lord, what should I do? Should I pursue? And the Lord said, yes, pursue, and you'll recover all that's been taken. I'm sure there were some doubters. But David said, okay, Lord, if that's what you're saying, then we're going to go. They worked through the difficulties, they labored through the delays, and they recovered all the spoils and then some. There were delights. Lord, may we never be the detractor. May we always be the one that's there to encourage and to strengthen others. May we rejoice with those that rejoice. Lord, may we be the ones that are just right in the middle of it all, just experiencing great joy over what you're doing. Again, this is your work, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I used this quote the other day in a message, and I said, I referred to this statement from many years gone by, there is no limit to what can be accomplished for God as long as no one cares who gets the credit. And I pray that I would just be one of the servants, one of the slaves chained to the oar there in the bottom of the ship, and that I would merely rejoice along with everyone else when Jesus Christ brings into our lives the delights. Would you encourage folks tonight to stay the course? Perhaps they're in the midst of difficulties. Perhaps there are some tonight that are in the midst of delays and that you've called them and you're sending them forth, but right now they're in the midst of delays and it just doesn't seem as though this is right, and they're waiting on the proverbial man to get nourishment so that he can explain what he knows. And how often we grow impatient with these man-made delays. But even in those delays, you're working and you'll bring about our delight. And it may not be until heaven that we find out why you allowed the delays. But it's also quite possible that while we're here on earth, we'll figure it out and we'll see it and we'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for not working according to my timetable. Thank you for working according to your great wisdom. I pray that this has been encouragement to each one tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I hope that you will consider this passage. We've got one more section here in 1 Samuel, and we'll finish up this book. There's still a lot that will transpire over this last chapter and a few verses, and so look forward to covering that in the days ahead. Why don't we all stand together tonight? Please be in prayer for the school and everything that's involved with that. Pray for Brother Bradford and wisdom in keeping our teachers safe and keeping our students safe. Giving guidance to the parents. Also, if you would, be in prayer for our governor and for the legislature. Again, at times, because of decisions and because of statements, my blood just begins to boil at some of the things that are being said recently, both on the federal level by legislators and by judges, and then on a state level as well. But I tell you what, let's do this. Will you commit this in a pact with me? That instead of getting angry over much of what is said and how stupid it can be at times, would you make this pact with me, and I'll make it with you, that every time we reach that point of anger, that we'll pray that those people get saved? Because ultimately, that's what's needed. These are souls that are going to spend an eternity someplace. And I know you and I may get very, very hot under the collar, filled with that lather. We might even get a little bit rednecked because we're upset about how things are unfolding. But will you turn that time frame and that mindset into a prayer? Lord, you know that that person's ultimate need is Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'll make that pact with you, if you'll make that pact with me, that we as believers will just pray harder for these legislators to come to know Christ as their Savior. Looking forward to Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Hope you'll be back in your place as you're able to. Again, I was encouraged by the good number that we had on Sunday on this morning service, and glad to see each one back tonight. And hopefully we can continue to take steps forward. Thank you to the folks that are joining us online. I want to encourage folks more and more to come and be here and a part of the service, and trust that God will give you a wonderful week. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to be with your people tonight. Would you bless and direct in our week? May we be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.